Mr. Liguori, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Good morning, Congress. Here on behalf of Brandon Feathercow, the appellate. May it please the court, I'm Andrew Liguori. Basically, when I look at this case, it comes to mind as the eight old adage, two wrongs don't make a right. In this case, it seems like everything that parents did in this case was done to make a determination that the appellee's oldest daughter, AMB, was not a child of this marriage, yet somehow went through and there became a determination that he was determined a child of the marriage.
Is there a difference between being a child of marriage and your client being the father of the child?
I don't think there is in this circumstance, no. Okay.
Did the district court already determine that your client was the father of the child?
Not really. The district court, there was a support order prior put in, but the pleadings in this case
What have we said about support orders?
Excuse me?
What have we said about support orders and paternity?
Well, in this particular case, Your Honor, the prior support order law has said is the parties cannot orally stipulate to paternity. Prior support order states right on its face that not the parties stipulate, but that their counsel can oral stipulate to paternity.
What did the court determine?
The court apparently determined that paternity was established, but even that's arguable because, number one, that violates the law. It was an oral stipulation by the parties that, as the record shows, was made by defendant, third-party defendant's counsel, and the legal name of the child isn't even present in that order. So
was a judgment entered in that paternity action?
There was a judgment order.
Was it appealed?
That was not appealed, no.
So is it final?
I believe it's final, yes.
What impact does that have?
I don't think it has any impact here because this is wrong. As I said, this violates the law. When we look at this case, we look at how do you establish paternity, how do we establish legitimacy. You cannot get there. Of this case. You cannot get there. This overturns every rule that statutory in case law has provided us.
Okay, is there a procedure to contest that paternity determination?
There is.
Okay, yes. And how is that done?
It's done by statute. It's in Chapter 40.
Okay, was that done in this case?
That was not done in this case, and that's because essentially, as it shows throughout this case, there was a particular view. I mean, we would have to go back before a judge that already made a determination that basically we're not going to look whether or not this child is actually yours.
Doesn't that statute require or allow genetic testing?
It does, and genetic testing was done here, and the parties recognized that genetic testing was
done. Is that in the record? Is that genetic testing in our record?
The parties... statement that genetic testing was done and disproved the minor child is in there.
Is the genetic testing
the
results?
The actual genetic testing results are not in there.
So we don't know. We have party's testimony.
We have the party's statement that genetic testing was completed and approved that the child was not Brandon Feathercock.
Is that sufficient?
Well, that amongst everything, I think all the evidence.
What else? What other evidence do we have?
The other evidence is that essentially there was a misrepresentation in bringing about the original support order in the first place. The minor child was presented as a Feathercock, which she was not. And that was brought out in the dissolution action that she was not a Feathercock, that she was actually a Dietrich. And the reason that she was a Dietrich was because the parties made a determination that she was not a Feathercock, and the mother actually took legal means to have her name changed to Dietrich because she wasn't a Feathercock.
Aren't you attempting to collaterally attack the paternity judgment in this proceeding?
I don't think so because I think the court brought that into play here. That was not pled in this action. The complaint in this action and the answer, the cross-complaint in this action, very clearly show the issue that should have been addressed, and nobody addressed it. And if we're going to bring in a support order, we're just going to set it there, and we're going to say, okay, this is something different, and I'm going to go, and the court, district court says, I'm going to go off of that. But in doing so, I'm going to ignore every ounce of evidence. That's incorrect.
Well, it seems that way. It seems to me that if that judgment was final, and unless it was somehow void, it is binding until it's set aside using the only procedure that's available, which is the statutory procedure, which you haven't concededly haven't followed. You can't litigate an issue in one case and turn around and go off and file a new case with different pleadings and a different theory and undermine the original judgment, can you?
I would argue that the matter wasn't properly litigated in the first sense, and there's nothing.
Well, are you arguing that it's void?
Yes.
And what's the basis for your claim that it was void? Did the court have subject matter jurisdiction?
I can't tell you whether or not the court had. There was probably not, no, because the child. The
court didn't have jurisdiction over the matter of a paternity case?
It did. But
all right, did it have jurisdiction over the parties? Were they properly served?
Assume so.
So, at that point, what is it that would make what was done before void, as opposed to merely erroneous? Or do you not recognize that distinction?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but when we consider the case law that says you cannot orally stipulate paternity, and on the face of the order of support, it says that the party's counsel orally stipulated paternity and support in this action.
Wouldn't that be error?
That would be error.
But yes. Is error enough to collaterally attack a judgment? Don't you have to show that there was a failure of jurisdiction? Or appeal in the first case. Isn't appeal the remedy for that?
Yes, I think that's the correct remedy. But it's a difficult position for my client who's being told you're the father, even though every single action that you've done and the mother's done in this action shows that you are not.
So basically, he's not the father.
He's not the father.
Why can't he bring it under the statutory authority that requires parties to submit to genetic testing and then the court to consider invalidating that prior order or setting it aside?
Should, and that should have been done.
But
I don't understand why it wasn't.
Who should have done it?
Well, and that's when I look at it and I say, if your practice and your intent is to deceive from the get-go, when an action's filed under a wrong name, to basically imply that this is a child that belongs to my client, and when that's not even the child's name, there's an intent to deceive. So should the individual with the intent to deceive make these changes? Should we burden the one that's innocent and is sitting back and saying, what do I do when I'm being told this is what I'm supposed to do and I'm not getting the right direction someplace else? And that's what happens here. I mean, the law is very clear here. When we went to trial, the only evidence is this child's not his. It's not contradicted. It's not disputed. This child is not Brandon Fair.
Is your position that this current challenge is your only tool to remedy what you challenge?
I think it's the best tool, and I think it's where we have to start. And I think that's because we have the opportunity to start here, because we have to go someplace. And just as if we go against the support order using the statute, we still have this order. So we have to start someplace, and that's where we're at. Is we're saying, you know, this support order never should have been brought into this case, and never should have been a part of this case. If it was going to be brought into this case, then somebody should have got notice of that. Somebody should have said, hey, we're going to we're going to use this so that we do not have to consider the evidence in this divorce case. Pleadings don't show that. Pleadings don't show that anywhere. In fact, the pleadings very clearly show we have a big issue here. And that was never addressed by her. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here today on behalf of the appellee? Does not appear to be. That takes us to Carlson versus Carlson.